Fred Film Radio, Edinburgh International Film Festival, Scotland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the Edinburgh International Film Festival 2014, joined by Ian Gardner, and thank you very much for joining us today.
No, it's a pleasure to be here. I program the short animation for the Edinburgh International Film Festival. I've been in that role for 5 years. The programmes I look after are international animation. When we can fit it in and when we can budget it, we do retrospectives,
right,
of animators or, you know, themes. We've had Don Hertzfeld, Richard Williams, and I'm also concurrently at present the artistic director of McLaren 2014, which has been a project I've been working on for 7 years. So it was in my head before working with the Film Fest, but getting involved with the Film Festival and the CMI that run the Film Festival has really leveraged a whole breadth of programming that we've taken around Scotland and the UK, actually.
But first, I'd love to know, like, what the animation selection for the short film side of the festival was like this year.
It's good. Coincidental to the centenary of Norman McLaren this year, we've got the 25th McLaren Award for Best British Animation. So it's a nice week and a convergence of numbers, in addition to which it's the National Film Board of Canada's 75th birthday, and the National Film Board of Canada, you know, the animation unit was established by Norman McLaren. So the first programme of animation we had was very much echoing McLaren's influence on Canadian animation and the presence of the National Film Board within that, so a kind of joint celebration. And we had a nice variety of kind of experimental narrative, mainly Canadian shorts in that one, but I can justify it being called an international programme because the reputation of the NFB is such that people go from all around the world to be at the NFB. So whilst a lot of the films were saying copyright Canada, if you look at the directors' names, they're from all over the place. The other big highlight that tallied in with the McLaren 2014 festivities was we premiered at the Edinburgh International Film Festival restorations of Norman McLaren's stereoscopic films from the 1950s. They were the first animations ever made in stereoscopy, and I saw them like brand new. I hadn't seen them before. We screened them on Saturday, and they kind of pretty much blow contemporary stereoscopy out the window. Especially when you consider that McLaren didn't have anything to base what he was doing on. He was just he had to invent, he had to make it up as he went along. And I think part of the energy and excitement of the stereoscopy in those films was because there were no rules. I think a lot of blockbusters nowadays, they have to work within certain thresholds of kind of viewer tolerance. I mean, I'm not scientific or technical when it comes to stereoscopy, but there are actually a lot of limitations set in major films because an excessive exploitation of the kind of left-right shift in the eye can bring a bit of nausea to the audience. And I'm not saying that McLaren's films induced nausea, but they didn't have any of those can't-do ethics behind them.
He's just one of the biggest pioneering kind of legends of animation, early animation. He really set the tone for a lot of the work that followed it.
Yeah, and more than that, I mean, his influence is in contemporary synthetic sound design and music, in motion graphics, in experimental film. I think he's most remembered as an animator because he set up the animation unit of the National Film Board, but animators have really kind of, you know, like myself, have really cherished his memory and made sure that he's remembered for his contribution to art and culture. But we're segueing off the Edinburgh programme. We've still got another international programme to come on Sunday, which is a kind of, you know, all corners of the world type programme. So a very intricate piece from China, a nice wee folk tale from Japan, a very dark film from Spain about a girl terrorised by feral dogs.
It's just a lot of different films and a lot of different styles, I would say.
And a lot of texture and a lot of intellectual depth.
Right.
I think that's the emphasis that we put in animation at Edinburgh, is that the films have some kind of intellectual merit.
Yeah.
I think you can often see a lot of films at animation festivals and technically they're interesting to animators, but our audience isn't primarily animators, so I tend to avoid kind of geek fest films. I try and keep away from films that are about animation. It's surprising how many animators make films about, I am an animator and this is how I work.
Really?
You know, it was interesting in the 80s. In fact, it was interesting in 1940 when Chuck Jones did it in Duck Amuck.
Yes, oh, but classic.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's not original anymore. So, but in terms of programming, I mean, I think the big issue that we're not really fully discussing at Edinburgh this year, but it is the question of the proliferation of films appearing online.
Oh, right.
Because we're one of the few festivals that don't accept films that are online. And in fact, technically, we should just be a premiere-only festival, but I negotiated 5 years ago that we don't have primary restrictions in Edinburgh because there are so many animation festivals that I don't think we would be the first port of call. But also, having said that, we've had some amazing premieres here. We've had I Am Tom Moody. We had, was it Sleeping with the Fishes last year that won the BAFTA? We've got a lot of premieres tomorrow night. You know, so we'll chase premieres. We do try and solicit premieres, and we do try and negotiate with filmmakers to make sure that their films aren't seen prior to coming to Edinburgh. But the doors are open for films that have previously screened in Annecy or whatever. But the online thing is changing the landscape somewhat, because so many people, and it's just a whole new generation of filmmakers, and I totally understand why they're putting their films online. I totally understand the exposure it brings them. I totally understand how, if they're successful with it, they'll get revenue from commercial jobs and all the rest of it. But I do feel a bit bad that there doesn't appear to be anybody briefing them that, having in the first instance put their film online, they're immediately negating any chance of an Oscar qualifier, nomination, or anything else, because it's against the Academy rules. You're supposed to win an Academy accredited festival prize, and many of the festivals that give out these prizes accept online films. So, I mean, you know, I don't work at the Academy. Maybe the rules are breaking, you know, as we speak. Maybe somebody at the very moment, because there was a film, Avocado, something by Pez, I can't remember the name, apologies, but it ended up on the Oscar shortlist, got nominated, and I think at the time the Academy had said to the filmmaker, get it offline. But, you know, it had been online for a considerable amount of time before it qualified. Well, it got through somehow. I mean, it's a brilliant film. I mean, maybe that's the difference. I mean, I had a film I wanted to show at Edinburgh, and the filmmaker needed an income. He put it online, and you know what? It just wasn't remarkable enough to break the rule.
I think that's a problem with short films in general, and not just restricted to animation. You know, the filmmakers that do make shorts, they just don't know what to do. Even when they're at a festival, they're kind of alienated. It's really strange.
I think, and I hope none of my filmmakers hear this, but I think sometimes they're too keen to congregate in the networking drinks in the evening, and they actually miss a lot of stuff in the morning. There's a lot of essential information that a lot of attendee filmmakers are missing at Edinburgh industry events, because they're heavily hungover. And I do try and counsel, I do try and say to people when they come, look, just pace yourself, because there's a lot of advantage to be had from being sober.
Man, yeah, it's the intensity of festivals in general. Like, it's crazy. Like, but it takes some getting used to. But eventually, some people do make it. Which is,
a lot of people grasp the opportunities that are there, which is brilliant. But I mean, I've made a habit now for about 3 or 4 years of going into Edinburgh College of Art back in February and just giving them a brief in festivals, giving them a brief in BAFTA qualification, Scottish BAFTA qualification, festival strategies. What is a festival strategy? Do you know all that kind of stuff? And then we look at the Edinburgh College of Art work while it's still in progress. And I basically gamble. You know, I'll put things in. I mean, I usually get it right, but
what is the state of the Scottish animation?
It's healthy, it's great. There's Axis Animation through in Glasgow it's recently moved studio because they've got so much work. They've got clients all over the world, especially in America, doing a lot of I think the term service work, you know, where you do kind of interstitials for games, but you know, when you think about the economic advantages of the games industry. Colic Films have done series for Disney. I mean, heaven knows what they're up to, because there'll be NDAs involved. Red Kite Studios, thanks to the recent animation tax breaks, I think are on the verge of actually producing a children's animated series in Scotland, whereas previously they've had to outsource animation to Asia, where it's basically dirt cheap. You know, you just, you do all the IP in-house, and then you would outsource. Okay. But finally the UK has adopted tax breaks, and I hope to God, if there is a yes vote in Scotland, that we're sharp enough to maintain the advantages that have recently come, and hopefully add further advantages if we were to be an independent country. I'm not going to be drawn on how I think it should go. I'm just saying practically that if it did become independent, we've got to make sure that we don't set ourselves backwards.
We
have to use that and move further forward than we were where we in the UK. But as I say, that's just an observation and not any opinion.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating to hear about all the advancement that are taking place in animation. Of course, they kind of tend to branch out as well to video games, and now transmedia is another new thing that is kind of being experimented with.
And Rockstar North is in Edinburgh as well. You know, they do Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very it's a very different kind of, you know, the high pressure. It's all animation's high pressure wherever you go, but because of the kind of different culture of games, There's not as much mingling between the kind of narrative-led animators that might rock up to Scottish Animation Network drinks and the Grand Theft Auto guys. But, you know, we'll get there eventually. I mean, I tried to extend, when we launched the McLaren programme back at the beginning of April, I tried to extend the invitation out to the games industry as well. But again, it's just, I don't know, I think if you don't have interpersonal contacts with people, it's quite difficult for folk to engage. And when you're just kind of cold calling and saying, look, we're actually doing something massive, and it was, the McLaren launch was hosted by Scotland's Culture Secretary, Fiona Hislop, and attended by people from Canada, and, you know, it was a really,
really big really, event.
It was, and at Stirling Castle, and, you know, so it was a high profile event. So it's a shame that we didn't quite get everybody at the table, but you know, we've done it once.
Yes.
We'll try it again.
Thanks very much, Ian.
Cheers.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.